This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are excited to have our next guest on with us. Howard Dennaroff is with us from Westwood One. He is the executive producer, as well as many other things, with an impressive resume, I will say this, having covered 29 Super Bowls, 17 Final Four broadcasts, 12 Stanley Cups, 8 Olympics, 8 World Series, and by the way, he can do Spanish games in Major League Baseball and the NFL. Howard, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you, and thanks for that nice introduction. My mother must have wrote it.
Probably that or Andy Roth, our good friend, the Poobah. He wrote that one, too. So, you know, it was funny. Andy was telling us the story of the catcall, and you were standing right there. And, you know, as Jeff and I were listening to it, and we've listened to it plenty of times, I think what's great is when Kevin gets the read in and
the
gets the ad
read,
in,
yes,
in the middle of that.
Yes. You can either blame me for that or credit me for that, however you want. I mean, the sponsor was very happy about it, obviously. The truth of the matter is, I had the card in my hand anyway, ready to go, because the Giants were about to go into the red zone to our left, and the cat stopped play and was towards our right. And so as we're sitting there, I was thinking, well, the Giants offense up to that point had not been very effective, not just that game, but previous games. So we have a minimum number of reads we have to get in for the red zone. And so I wasn't sure it was going to happen. So when the cat got into the red zone on the other side, I handed Kevin the card, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And then I pointed and I said, "Nazir, the cat is in the red zone." And he nodded. But if the cat hadn't stopped at the 2-yard line to pause long enough for him to read it, it never would have happened. So I thank the cat for allowing us to get the extra read in. It was the pregnant pause by the cat on the 2 that allowed it.
Well, Howard, everybody has to be in on it, right? So well done by Westwood One, making sure the cat was on the payroll for that night.
Yeah, but you see, that's part of what broadcasting is, though. Sometimes you need a lot of luck, right? You have to be good right at the moment, but you have to have luck, because the cat, you know, doesn't stop. And the moment was great anyway, regardless of that. It just was better for the sponsor because of it. And I think some people thought it made it funnier, so... Anyway,
I mean,
but Kevin's a joy to, you know, listen to, whether he's in describing a cat or a football player or basketball, which he's done for us for years as well, and some other things. So,
I mean, do you have a group of guys? I mean, who have been the guys that you've worked with play-by-play wise, or even a color analyst that really stick out in your mind and helped you with your career along the way?
Well, I've been fortunate. I've been doing this for just over 30 years, and you know, for when I first started doing NFL, Jack Buck and Hank Stram were the lead crew, and then Marv Albert, Howard David and Matt Millen, then Marv Albert and Boomer Esiason, and now Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner. And the last few I've had the ability to be a part of the talent decisions, but when I first started, I wasn't. And so those were all great crews, and we had some other. I mean, Jim Nance and Pat Hayden were our Sunday Night Football crew when we first started, and I was able to hire Dick Enberg to do Thursday Night Football when Thursday nights first started. And that's just the football side. And you talk about the baseball side, I got to work with Ernie Harwell. And so there's just so many people. I did a couple World Series with Vin Scully. And so it's very difficult for me to tell you who the greatest is and all that. They're all great for a reason, and it's clear. I will say this. I grew up in New York City, for those who can't tell by my lovely accent. And so Marv Albert was my guy growing up, just because he did everything in New York when I was young, and so for the thrill for me to work with him, or I should say the nerves, were much greater when I first started working with him than anybody else. just because he was my guy. That's who I wanted to be, and realized when I was in college that I was better served to be behind the scenes than being on the air.
I've had the pleasure of talking with Marv many times over the years, Howard, and it started for me when I was in college and I was covering a Cavs game, and Marv was there, and I was close enough. I introduced myself, and I said, and I've read your book, you know, his book, Yes, and I said, I went to Kent State, and he said, oh, yes, my brother went to Kent State. And so I've had a chance over the years for Marv, and I've always been impressed at how gracious he was and how welcoming he was to younger broadcasters. Always been the case with him.
If I may, for a real quick funny story, so I'm working the first game ever with him was the first game at Gillette Stadium. He did the Monday night game. And it was the opening there, and the Patriots, you know, they raised the banner for the first time there against the Steelers. And very nervous to get through the game, no problem. It was either week two or week three. We had a game in Miami, and I'm still getting my sea legs around him and navigating, trying to figure it out. And my mom lives in Miami. And so I brought my mother up to the booth before the game to just introduce, because she was a fan of his as well. And she then proceeds to tell him how much I used to walk around the house imitating him, shooting baskets into the garbage. And of course, my imitation was not that good to begin with, but then my mother doing it on top of it, I was absolutely beat red, trying to give her the hook sign, give her the cut sign like a producer would, and she proceeded to then do the entire starting lineup for him. And to this day, he still asks me about my mom, though, so it actually broke the ice between us. So I'll thank her for it. At the time, I was horrified, though.
I bet you were.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes, it was difficult to listen to.
Hey, Howard, we've got all these great games coming up. You know, over the next 2 months, we're going to be playing some of these classic games. I'm just curious. We'll start here on 92.3 The Fan on Thursday night with the 2009 NFC wildcard game.
Tonight, right? We've all lost track of days and times, right? That is tonight, isn't it? Yes.
Oh, yeah, that is tonight. I don't even know. You're right. I forgot. On some day that starts with a day, it's tonight. How did you pick some of these games and your thought process in going into this to choose some of the best games to play here on Westwood One and 92.3
Some of it is limited by what we have archivally. Obviously, that's a big part of it. So I've been there 30 years. We have virtually everything from those 30 years. We've had the rights since I've been there. We did not have the rights. Just quick history. So CBS Radio has been the main rights holder for the NFL since 1978, except for 2 years. And those were the 2 years the Cleveland Browns were in the championship games. NBC Radio had those rights. So we do not have those games, which I'm sure your fans are very happy not to hear again. But so those 2 years where the Bears and the Giants won the Super Bowl 20 and 21, we did not broadcast. So we have the ability to do anything previously from Super Bowl 13 all the way forward. We also did all the even number Super Bowls prior to Super Bowl 13 and Super Bowl 1, which was done by both CBS and NBC Radio, just like it was done by both CBS and NBC Television. So we had that to choose from, but prior to 1978, there were no Monday night games. There was nothing like that. So it was just, actually, it wasn't even all the playoff games. It was just championship Super Bowl back then. So we tried to vary it up, get enough of a, we wanted to try and get one Super Bowl from every decade at least to start.
Sure.
And then try and mix in some other, we didn't necessarily want to have just a game that has a great signature play as much as it was a great game and a good listen the whole way through. So we're doing Super Bowls every Monday. We're doing other kinds of playoff games, wild card divisional championship on Thursdays, and trying to mix it up. We didn't want to have all New England games. I mean, obviously, we could just pick great New England games over whether they win or lost over the last number of years. And so we wanted to vary it a little bit and also leave us some great games as well if, for some reason, this ends up having to be extended because live sports, you know, goes longer. We hope not, certainly, but if it's a way longer than we think and we want to extend, I wanted to be able to leave some classic games that people would still want to hear rather than do them all in the first, you know, first run, if you will.
Howard Dinneroff joining us from Westwood One. All right, I must tell you, I love the iconic little music hit going to break with the bum 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 after the little fanfare. Where did that come from?
Tell like me that our music theme that we, great, okay, good. So it was worth our spending the money to bring in the big band to perform it.
I love it, Howard.
Thank you. Yeah, so I mean, look, the fans, if they had not seen the list, so tonight we start with the one you mentioned, the highest scoring game in playoff history. We wanted something that made a little bit of sense. Monday we're going to run back the Super Bowl from this past year. And then you'll also hear Super Bowl 42, Super Bowl 23, Super Bowl 1, which is really interesting because it's never been rebroadcast. So we're going to play that back in a few weeks. And I think fans will like listening to that because it's a totally different sound. You know, from the game ending and going right to a break, barely giving, you know, they don't say they're Super Bowl champs. And some of the sponsorships we have to come out because it was cigarettes back then, which obviously is not allowed now, and things of that nature. But it's definitely an interesting listen. I listened back to it last week just to make sure that every single play was there and, you know, there wasn't anything missing or certainly not anything important missing. You could always kind of jump ahead a play or two if necessary, but it's all there. We've got everything. Even have the halftime show with Al Hurt. I don't know how much of that will play, but we're still in the editing phase on that one.
Hey, I want to ask you a question about Westwood One because it's David Lee, right, is your voiceover guy?
Yes.
And his voice is just so is such a great signature to stuff on Westwood One. Where'd you find him? And it's just his pipes are so good. I know it's all behind the scenes radio stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a funny story. And actually, he lives in Green Bay, so it kind of sounds appropriate. Okay. That's a football town, right? But I didn't know that at the time. I was actually in 1994 or 1995, I was driving from a minor league baseball game in Zebulon, North Carolina, from the Carolina Mudcats game, and was driving to Virginia to go to another minor league baseball game the next day in Richmond, Virginia.
Sure.
And it's probably 2 a.m. in the middle of the road, and all of a sudden there is a commercial that comes on the air for the gun show coming to the Richmond, I don't know if it was Richmond Coliseum or the Richmond, it was something, Richmond, whatever. And it was his voice. And it blew me away, absolutely blew me away. And I was like, I need to know who that voice was. So, again, it was 2 a.m. I wasn't going to call the board operator 2 a.m. But the next morning, I called the station. Sure. And they said, well, it was a syndicated spot that they got from so-and-so. And so after a couple phone calls, I was able to track it down. I said, oh, yeah, it's a gentleman by the name of David Lee. He does it out of his basement. In Wisconsin. At the time, I think he was living closer to Milwaukee, but he's from Green Bay. And so I called him and didn't get to hire him right away. Probably it was about, I think the 99 season was the first time I got to use him for a lot of stuff. And he's been our signature voice ever since. You know, and you know the voice if you hear it. And some people, you know, think he's a little over the top. One person described him as a tiger eating gravel. And that's okay. You know, the truth to me, a voiceover guy or girl should always be recognizable, regardless of whether you like him or not. It should be automatic that you know who it is, what it is, and makes you pay attention, if nothing else, right? So I think certainly for 20-some-odd years, close to 30, he's done that. He's done that.
He's awesome.
As soon as you hear it, you're like, what is that, if it's the first time? Or if not, you know immediately what it is. So
I know it's Westwood One. Like within two seconds.
Yeah. You know. That's what my argument is. I've been the one to have him on and he's done a great job and he's easy to work with and he's, you know, we don't have to bring him nowadays with not having to bring anybody to a studio, obviously, like you guys are. I hope I'm not giving out any secrets. You're not all in the studio together right now, but
no, I'm in my basement. You know, Jeff's two counties away from me right now. As we talk, hey, I want to ask you about one other game that you did. You did the Blackout Bowl. When the Ravens
I did. Them. That is not one of the ones we're replaying just yet. That's one of the ones that I would save, you know, for the next round. Tuck Rule is another one that we didn't run this time. We do have two other New England games. So, but yes, I did that game.
What was it like to produce that game? I mean, all of a sudden, did you lose power or how did that affect you guys?
So, yeah, it's a great question. And the short answer is we were off the air. Well, we weren't off the air. We were never off the air, but we lost transmission from the stadium to the studio, you know, studio in New York, which is where our headquarters are, and therefore from us to you guys and everybody else, for about 26 seconds there was silence, which simply is just a matter of, you know, we have, for a Super Bowl, we have four backups, right? So the main line goes, and the board operator in the studio is like, uh-oh, what do I do, right? So the thing you do is you go to the backup line, and normally there's something there. Once in a blue moon, there's not. And goes to the backup line, there's nothing there. Goes to the third line. And by the way, for a normal game, we just have a main line and a backup. Super Bowl, you have to have, so we have redundancy everywhere because it's the Super Bowl.
Right.
So he goes to the third line, there's nothing. And fourth line, nothing. So at this point, they're instructed, you play a commercial. So by the time he did all of that, it was 26 seconds, which when you think about it, is pretty fast, even though in an eternity, it seems like an eternity to radio, but it really is quick when you go through all those things. Within 90 seconds of that commercial, we were back on with a phone, which is much faster than any of the other broadcasts. And to be fair, you know, we're there at the Super Bowl every year. We have a plan in place, whereas other broadcasters don't know they're going to be there necessarily, right? And television, right. I'm not even talking about television. Television is way harder because you got, you know, we don't have to worry about cameras. You don't have to worry about 4,700 people. I mean, it's just, you know, a couple of us in the booth. So we were on a phone, and I was passing the phone back and forth between Kevin and Boomer for a little bit. And then we were able to get our sideline reporters, James Lofton, Mark Malone, on the cell phone as well and have them report from down there. And so everyone just called into the studio, and that's how we did the broadcast for close to 30 minutes.
Wow.
And then we switched over back to all our lines once everything came back. And but, yeah, I would say to you that 26 seconds was probably as long as I normally sit in the Lincoln Tunnel getting into New York City, or it felt like it anyway. And I hope never to have to do it again. We have backups in place now, so that shouldn't happen, but you never know. You never know. It was difficult. My first year, I'll just say this, you know, I wouldn't have known what to do or how to handle it probably, but my first World Series was the earthquake game in 1989 for the listeners who are old enough to remember that. And that's the third game I ever worked on in a World Series. So I kind of, at the time, I was just a production assistant, brand new. And so I didn't know what to do. I stayed out of the way and did whatever anybody told me. But this time I knew exactly what to do. And you stop becoming sports reporters, you become news reporters.
Sure.
You know, because our first reaction, unfortunately, in today's day and age was, okay, is this terrorism? You know, the Super Bowl is always, thought of as a big target, and they have super security, and it's the first thing you think of. And because we were in an indoor stadium, we couldn't tell if the lights were just out in the stadium. Was it outside the stadium? Was it the whole city? Was it? We had no way of knowing, so we started making phone calls from the production crew. You know, they called our affiliate in WWL in New Orleans to ask them if, and they said, no, it's just the dome. The rest of the city is fine. And so we knew that was good. And it was helpful. There was one bank of lights on. If you remember, it wasn't complete darkness. I think it would have been a lot different if the whole stadium was completely out and people would have started panicking in there. And so so we just reported on what we saw and what we knew and what we heard. And, you know, and our sideline reporters were talking to some players, and I hope never to have it happen again, but I'm proud of how we handled it. But there's no roadmap for anything like that. As you guys know, as a host, if you ever lose the line, you got, or you lose a partner or you lose a guest, you got to fill, right? So we filled and we filled and we filled some more, just like I'm doing right now.
That's all right. Howie, it all starts tonight on 92.3 The Fan. Green Bay Packers at Arizona Cardinals. That was the 2009 NFC wildcard game. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to maybe talking to you somewhere down the road, too. I don't want to hear about more games because I hope we're playing live. And I also want to say that, I mean, I listen to a lot of the Monday night games, and you guys do a great job on Monday night. I really love listening to those games on 92.3 The Fan as well. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. We're happy to be on and thrilled that you guys are taking these games and carry our broadcast throughout the year.
Thank you, Howard.
All right, Howie, thank you.
Stay
Howie
safe,
Denneroff,
guys.
Executive Take producer.
Care.
Thank you, too. Executive producer of Westwood One Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.